Okay, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wow, this is amazing.
Yes.
This is the first Wednesday of the month.
Amen.
Where the whole church comes together.
Amen.
To pray, right? And we will. And we have, been.
Yes.
We would like to, tonight, brothers and sisters, to have some particular fellowship with everyone. And I would say this portion, we just need to be exercised in our spirit, enjoying the Lord, allowing the Lord to enjoy us.
Amen.
We are the church.
Amen.
We are a part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
And we express the Lord in a locality.
Amen.
We are the church in Houston.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And we have come together in the middle of the week after work and with children and all kinds of normal hindering things that occur in our life to be together as the church to pray and to fellowship together.
Amen.
What a blessing.
Amen.
I don't know if we've ever had a prayer meeting this large in Houston. But anyway, this is a marvelous thing. There's a real need from time to time for the whole church to come together to pray. Okay, so our plan tonight is several things. One is that we will finish by 8:30. So you see the clock. So if we get too close to that time, and then you can either stay and continue, or if you need to go, you can go. But I think what we will do, we'll plan that we all can be done by that time. We can get home. It'll just be getting dark by the time we get home. And we will have had a good time with the saints.
Amen.
If you're able to stay and help to clean up a little bit, that would be great. I think the cleanup mainly matters of finding some trash bags to put the boxes in. There's not much cleanup necessary. Didn't you enjoy this kind of a meal?
Amen.
Not so much extra work to do, but it was fine, right? It was fine. So, you know, saints, I've been here a long time, but I'm not usually here. So when I get a chance to come back to be with the saints, it's a great joy to me, and I hope it's not too big a problem for you. But when I come, I just can't help the fact that my heart is so much related to the saints for so long in Houston. And still, I want to go back to London, and at the same time, I want to stay here. I know my wife feels the same way. Anyway, tonight we had a particular feeling because three things actually. And one of them you don't know about yet because I didn't want the brothers to give it to you yet, so you'll get it later. But two things. One is to realize if the Lord is doing something on the earth, which He is, there will always be opposition. Because there's a source that's against God's move, against God Himself, who wanted to be equal with God, and He got Himself into man, and so every man is born with Him as a part of their being. You know what I'm talking about. So we have to stand against Him. But on the other hand, we shouldn't be disappointed when He rises up and tries to do things. Because if we weren't doing something, if the Lord was not doing something, He wouldn't need to bother. But the Lord is moving, and He's moving on the earth, and we do believe the Lord soon will have what He needs on the earth to be able to return. So the portion on fruit bearing and the desperate prayer life we will come to in a few minutes. This will be our second portion that we will address. Because we're at the prayer meeting of the church, then I hope we will touch a few of these excerpts. We won't read these things tonight because it would take us beyond 8:30 to do that. But I hope you all would take this and over the next few days, and I would say the next few days, just a few days, would you please pray over these. Bring it to the Lord, because we're bringing this to the church for fellowship with the church that we feel is very much needed. So Sometime back, some weeks back, perhaps even now a little bit, some months, but not too long ago, some things came out in a fresh and kind of a new way against the Lord's recovery and against persons in the Lord's recovery. And this was mainly done through the internet and the social media, which many of you are familiar with, and many of you are on. But these things did come out, and they came out from some who had been among us, but who had chosen to go away, but who also wanted to try to take others with them to leave. This is nothing new. Nothing new. This has always been going on, and it will always be going on. Many of us can testify, the ones who cared for us, some of us who are here, the ones who cared for us, they left. Well, that was their choice. We're here by our choice. We're choosing to follow the Lord, and we're choosing to follow the Word, and we're choosing to follow the ministry that has opened the Word up to us. So before we get into some of this part here and why we're doing it, I wanted to give you some verses for your reference also. These are additional verses. There's not many. But one is Acts 26:19. And Acts 26:19 is where Paul is speaking to King Agrippa, this Jewish king, and where he's telling him that he was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And in Ephesians chapter 1, the apostle Paul was writing to the Ephesians, and he was praying for them that they would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. In other words, they needed to see something. Originally, Paul, the apostle, was Saul of Tarsus. He was a religious person, but he believed in what he was doing because he was in darkness. He was not that different from many in Christianity and many of us who were in Christianity, except we got regenerated, many of us, in Christianity. Thank the Lord for that. But he was stuck in that religion, and we were stuck. So we needed a vision. And so the Lord appeared to Saul of Tarsus, and the Lord said to him, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And right away, Saul of Tarsus saw something. He saw, oh, I'm bothering people, but he's saying me. Why are you persecuting me? This is who Christ is. He became enlarged by becoming the Spirit to get into so many people, and that produced the church, and the church gets opposed. The church gets opposed mainly by religion, and all of this with the background of the enemy. So it's not the people. It's the enemy that is the problem. He is the problem. But Paul had a vision. Now, this vision carried him all the way through, even to the point where in 2 Timothy he said, "All in Asia have left me." Actually, not every single person left him, but there was an atmosphere of going away from the teaching and the fellowship of the apostle at that time. Said, "All have left me," but he remained steadfast. So, saints, tonight we are saying we have to remain steadfast. Amen. It doesn't matter what anybody else does. Here I am, a brother standing up in front of you who's been around here for almost 50 years. Almost 50 years. The ones who brought me and my wife into the recovery left. They left. If I were to leave, what should you do?
Stay.
Be steadfast. Don't be distracted by anybody that would try to take you away, because if you do, that means you never saw the vision. So if it's only you who remains, remain steadfast. Of course, that will not happen. That will not happen because we're the body. So you're not going to be by yourself. But we have to have this kind of vision deep in us that we would stand no matter what it looks like or what's happening. And the enemy in these last days will do all that he can to interfere. So Paul realized what the situation was, and there he was in prison. Eventually, they killed him some way, beheaded him or whatever they did to him. We don't know. But he was gone. What came out of him? 14 epistles of the New Testament.
Amen.
That's why we're here, because we got into those epistles. So we've been produced out of this one who had to say, they've all left me. Brothers and sisters, we are the most blessed people on the face of the earth. Okay, so the other portion is in Ephesians 1 related to this matter of having a spirit of wisdom and revelation, seeing the vision, realizing what is going on. Ephesians is a book on the church life. So Paul was faithful and he imparted that vision and the Lord provided that vision all the way down to where we have it today. Okay, the other two portions I'll just refer to actually is just a book. And the book is 2 Timothy. Because this is where all of these ones had left and you had the great decline occurring of the church. And here the apostle was charging his beloved disciple, the one he loved, Timothy, oh, in the midst of all this decline, to stand fast, to be firm. And at the end of the epistle, he just encouraged him to enjoy the grace of the Lord. And brothers and sisters, this probably was the last writing of the Apostle Paul. There, in these last times, we need the help that we get from this epistle, 2 Timothy. Okay, one other portion, not going to read any of this, but a very helpful portion for us in the normal church life, and that's Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18. Because in Matthew 18, the Lord very explicitly points out when we have an issue with any other saint or anybody, especially someone that's in our vital group, somebody that's a part of us, if we have an issue with them, we should go to the Lord, we should go to them. And then if it becomes necessary, eventually the church would become involved in this. But we should always, always cover the saints. Always cover the saints. Okay, so recently some of these Facebook things came out trying to uncover all kinds of things. These were full of untruths. And those of us that have been around throughout all of this time and know all of these things, that's the facts. Those are the facts. We just should not listen to that sort of thing. And in the first place, it's not proper to speak those things. If you read Matthew 18, we should never do that. We should never do that. We have an issue with someone, we go to them. And we get things cleared up in a private way. Private way. So if you hear of anything like that happening, first of all, realize that there's only one source for that kind of way. It's never the Lord. The Lord does not operate that way. He never operates that way. Okay, but because of this happening and because it spread, evidently, I'm not on Facebook, but I hear about, I know how to do emails. I can do that much if I have a little help from my wife occasionally. I'm not on Facebook, but I know that I'm not saying anything against it. I know that it goes out and it reaches a lot of people. So when these things were written, then some that had known these persons who wrote these things became concerned for them. And you do, right? You love them. You love them. Well, that's dangerous. It's dangerous. Because death is killing. Death is killing. So when this happened, then we realized we have to have some kind of response, because if we don't, then someone will say, well, it must be right then if you're not saying anything, right? You know. So the brothers in fellowship, some of the co-workers, put together something for the leading brothers who were gathered at the summer training. And so this was produced, and there was a meeting of the leading brothers, responsible brothers in the localities in North America. And it wasn't opened up so generally throughout the whole earth because it was mainly a North America issue. And quite honestly, it mainly is about Texas and Oklahoma. So that's mainly what it was. And then a more recent thing came out. And the church in Houston is mentioned. And some of the brothers are mentioned by name. And so we feel that we have to make this available to all of you to be aware that we're right in the forefront of the target. For some reason, we are targeted on this thing. So we feel like we have to come forward and have some fellowship. So what was presented there at the training to the leading brothers, and then the next day was presented to those who had gone through the full-time training, we felt in fellowship here that we should open some of this up to you so that you would have the same material that was put together for them to realize. Amen?
Amen.
So that's what we've done. We've done this so that it would be available for all of us. And so what you see, this letter to the leading brothers, at the back of the letter, there are a number of quotes from the ministry that just expose the kinds of things that were done. Now, we don't even want you to worry about who wrote what or even what they did. Forget about it. Forget about it. Just take the word and fellowship in the body. You will be rescued just by that. But we want to stand on the truth, and we want to have the proper fellowship. And so we felt that we should do this here. And another reason for doing it here and in this particular situation is because you have come to the prayer meeting of the church. Nobody drifts into the prayer meeting. You don't just happen to be driving down the street and you hear that there's a prayer meeting, so you just go to the prayer meeting for the fun of it. No, the prayer meeting is a battle. You go to the prayer meeting because you're willing to fight. You're willing to take a stand. You're willing to agree with the Lord. And look at this. Look at this. Isn't this marvelous? These are the excellent. Saints are the excellent. So this is marvelous. Okay, so this is yours to keep. Don't throw it away. Take it home. Read it. Pray over it, please. And it will be very, very helpful. I'm only going to refer to a couple of things. And obviously, I'm going to read some quotes from a couple of brothers that will be very helpful to us. So if you will look on page 3. And at near the top, there's a word, there's a paragraph that begins with the word gossiping. Gossiping. You see that? Okay, we'll go there first. Let me read this to you. Gossiping has nothing to do with the tree of life, for gossiping never imparts life to the listeners. To gossip is to be involved with death. It is to spread death, which is of God's enemy, to others. To abstain from gossip is to abstain from death. If we would live a holy life, a life that abstains from anything related to death, we must stay away from the source of death. That is, we must stay away from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then down, paragraph begins, we must help the saints. That's what we're trying to do tonight. We must help the saints to be wise. Satan, the accuser of the brothers, will use public airing of grievances or issues, whether true or false, as openings to stir controversy, disturb the saints' peace, arouse fear, and undermine the faith of vulnerable saints, all to attack the Lord's interest and hinder His move. We should not be ignorant of the enemy's devices, but rather should strengthen the saints to be vigilant, to stand and not be shaken or threatened. Then you have these scripture references. Saints, everything we fellowship is based on the Word. Okay, so this is Brother Nee. This is a Brother Nee statement now. This is Brother Lee speaking, Brother Nee speaking. We must learn to listen to healthy words. We should not be led away by those who spread rumors and improper words. We must say, let's all say this, I do not want to listen to these things. Many sins will cease, and many brothers will be edified if you do this. There is a lust among us for unhealthy words. This is why these words multiply. People find these words tasteful. We must be delivered from these things. If we keep on listening, hoping to learn a little more and to probe a little more, we are fanning the flame, not extinguishing. Many idle, evil, and deceptive words are prompted by the interest of the listeners. This is Brother Nee. Okay, now turn over to the next page. And I will read the balance of this portion, beginning in the middle, in speaking about dealing with rumors. And speaking about dealing with rumors, Brother Lee said, there is a need for real and prevailing corporate prayer. Got that? Real and prevailing corporate prayer. Saints, on the schedule of the church in Houston, there is a corporate prayer once a month here. That's what we're doing tonight. We're here for a corporate prayer. The church needs to come together to pray, not to deal with people. I have learned the lesson that whenever there is a rumor, we should not deal with it directly. Rather, he advised the churches to pray, saying we should simply go to the Lord and appeal to the highest authority. Amen. We believe that the Lord is about to move in a fresh way in North America. Don't you believe that?
Yes.
After all this happening now? We should therefore expect spiritual frustration from the air. In such a circumstance, we should pray strongly for the Lord's interest and affirm His victory. As those who bear responsibility for the Lord's work and ministry among the churches, we can assure you that, as always, we will weigh the matters before us without prejudice or partiality, caring only for the Lord's interest and testimony. Speaking of 1 Timothy 5:21, Brother Lee said, do not show prejudice in receiving an accusation, and do not show partiality in defending anyone against accusation. We will not ignore real problems, but neither will we give heed to unfounded rumors. We believe that this is the right attitude and approach, not only for us, but for all those who bear responsibility to take the lead in the churches. May all the saints have the heart to take the Lord's way in dealing with such things. Please pray for the Lord's recovery, the co-workers, the leading brothers, and all the local churches with all the saints. Your brothers, the co-workers in North America. Okay, so the brothers also took some excerpts, ministry quotes, and I would like to refer you to a few key ones, but not that you would just read those, but to me they were quite key. So if you will look on the ministry quotes, the first page right in the middle, the paragraph, there is such a reality that in this universe there are the evil forces of darkness, the evil spirits. That paragraph. And then at the bottom of page 2. And this is a particular thing that I think many of us know about, but this will underscore the way the enemy operates. This is Brother Lee's writing. One of the methods his, Watchman Nee's, opposers used to attack him was by spreading rumors against him. This is the evil report mentioned by Paul in 2 Corinthians 6:8. Rumors are the most subtle and damaging kind of attack. A rumor is nothing but a lie. Some opposers defamed Watchman Nee by spreading rumors and evil reports. While Watchman was single and living in Shanghai, His mother came to stay with him for a period of time. Some spread the rumor that he was living with a woman. What an evil rumor that was. You know, Brother Nee did not defend himself in that. He just amazing. Okay. That's how easy rumors can be spread. His mother came. When the Lord was on earth, the Judaizers also despised him, criticized him, opposed him, attacked him, and spread rumors about him. The same thing was done to the apostles. These are the basic weapons Satan uses against God's economy. He attacked Watchman Nee with the same weapons. So, saints, when these things come to you, when these things happen, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised, there will be more. There will be more. Okay, then finally on page 5 at the bottom, this is the last paragraph here. I'd like to just read this to you. So prior to this, Brother Lee points out that it's not the people. It's not the people that are our enemies.
Right.
Our enemies are the evil forces who rule over them, the evil powers who are behind them. We're not fighting with people, but with the evil forces behind the people. If we are faithful with the Lord to take the ground of resurrection and be formed into an army to fight the battle for Him, we must be ready for many evil reports to be spread concerning us. We must be prepared for considerable opposition. Houston Saints, we must be prepared for considerable opposition. All the people of Jericho will talk about the people of Israel. But praise the Lord, whenever we hear these reports, we may rejoice, for they are signs that we will win. They are signs that the enemy is in fear and his defeat is inevitable. Jericho will certainly fall before us. Hallelujah!
Amen.
I am really fearful wherever I go if no one talks about me and there are no evil reports. Oh, I remember, saints, those early days when you couldn't hardly understand Brother Lee. And people would say, can anything worthwhile come out of China? When look at America with all this. Okay. But I am so happy if there are rumors, criticisms, and people talking. I am so happy. Are you happy? The more I hear of this, the more I come back to the Lord and praise Him. Here are the signs, Lord. Here are the signs that the battle will be won. The foolish talking, the absurd rumors, the evil reports, we should not be afraid of them. They are all signals that the victory is ours. Praise the Lord! So I hope you will read this with that view, with that kind of vision. Like Paul had. Once he saw it, oh my goodness, when he saw this, I am persecuting the body, the corporate Christ I'm persecuting. He saw something and it changed him the rest of his life. It was a vision that kept him the whole way. Well, what did he see? He saw that this is what the Lord is doing. This is it. We know it's God's economy. It's the church and it's the church expressed locally. City after city. And there's a golden, shining lampstand in the city of Houston. Okay, so promise me you will read this. And keep it. And pray over it. Okay, now, I'd like to give some very, very simple, practical, enjoyable, easy-to-do fellowship. Ready to move to just this sort of thing? Okay, so you turn to your other portion that you have. It's called fruit bearing and the desperate prayer life. That's why we need corporate prayer meetings. Because when we come together, there's an army praying and standing with one another. You're not with another two or three saints and you've got these big gaps and quiet periods and you think you have to sing a song or find something to read. No, in a prayer meeting, you may not even get to say more than amen. Like this big prayer meeting, all you may be able to do is say, amen, Lord.
Amen.
That's a prayer. That's just as meaningful as some eloquent brother praying a long prayer. Or eloquent sister. No, just some little sister, even maybe where nobody can hear you but the Lord. Amen, Lord.
Amen.
That's the prayer meeting of the church.
Amen.
And when we're in this realm, saints, when we're in this realm, we will be fruitful.
Amen.
Okay, so there's a vision of fruit bearing in the Gospel of John. Okay, I'm not going to go into this. I'm just going to tell you that much. Do you want to bear fruit?
Yes.
Well, here's the vision right here. You read this and you say amen to it. And you say, Lord, I will not be disobedient to this vision. Okay? I know I'm asking a lot. I can come here and ask things and then leave, you know. But this is the ministry. This is what the ministry realized. And what is the ministry? The ministry is the Lord giving gifts to the body to help us understand the Bible and apply it in our church life, living. And this is part of it. This came out of the ministry. Okay, then the second main heading is being a vital person. Are you a vital person? Only you can answer that. You know. A vital person is an overcomer. Not just going to church meetings, but an overcomer. A praying person, having the real burden for prayer. In this section, he talks about some of the co-workers, even just coming together and praying out of a kind of a common thing they do, but not out of a real burden. If you read much of the ministry, and you read a new chapter, and this new chapter, Brother Lee begins with a paragraph or two of prayer. He just pours his heart out to the Lord, opens fully to the Lord. Before he would speak a word, he just prays in such a way. Okay, praying person having the real burden for prayer to rescue the church from its degradation. Rescue the church. And that's what will happen. The church will be rescued from its degradation. Okay, now if you'll turn to the back page, the next page, just turn over the page and go down toward the bottom, and there's a paragraph that says, "One brother recently told me," you see that? "One brother recently told me that the vital groups really work. But I wondered if this brother really knew what he meant when he said this. Whether or not the vital groups work depends upon how much prayer you offer to the Lord. Then you will have the Spirit." Remember what we pray read? The verse we pray read a while ago? Then you will have the Spirit. You will be a Spirit-filled person according to what Acts 13:52 says. The disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. If you are a person of prayer, you will be a person living, walking, and doing everything in your spirit. You will not be so loose and easily talk about others. So this refers back to what we just were touching. It's easy to talk about others. Easy to do that. No effort. Just can do it. You can write it. You can Facebook it. You can do these things easily. But, if you are a person of prayer, that means you come Wednesday night, first Wednesday of every month, to pray with all of the saints. That's a person of prayer. Then you will be a person living, walking, doing everything in your spirit. You will be greatly limited, restricted in your spirit. Then you will have a real burden to produce fruit. You will contact people. Are you afraid to contact people? I am. Are you afraid to contact people? Well, just pray. Just be a person doing everything in your spirit. And then it'll just happen. The fear will be gone. You will contact people. And this will be very different from all your contacts in the past. If you're vital, your contacts will sense that something real is within you. You know, we're in this portion now on the experience of Christ. And so I was reading this portion where our brother was sharing that with Paul, there was a fellowship by the Philippians unto the gospel, fellowship with him unto the gospel. And he said, "You may speak or you may remain silent in preaching the gospel. You may speak or you may remain silent, because the gospel is the person. What comes out?" You remember the brother that was asked to speak in the gathering in Wales or Scotland? And he couldn't speak. He just wept and everybody got saved. You know. Sometimes the Lord, you just can't speak, but the gospel is there. So this will be very different from all your contacts in the past. If you're vital, your contacts will sense that something real is within you. Otherwise, the people whom you contact will not receive anything. If you're vital, something of life will be ministered to the ones you contact. Okay. Third paragraph from the end. I hope that my word here will encourage us. It's not me, this is Brother Lee. But I hope that too. We should be desperate for the Lord's interest on this earth. This is our destiny. We need to aspire to be the overcomers to rescue the church from its degradation. There is no verse in the New Testament which tells us that the closer we are to the Lord's coming, the better the church will be. There's not such thing. On the contrary, the closer we are to the Lord's coming, the more degraded the church will become. The victory will be with the overcomers. The victory will be with those who go to the first Wednesday night of the month prayer meeting. They will be raptured early, and they will be the ones who will consummate this age. This age will be consummated only because of the overcomers. Of course, we still need a church life. No one can be an overcomer without a church life. So it's not individual, but it is individual. It's corporate, but yet we have to choose. We have to choose. We still need a church life. No one can be an overcomer without a church life. Those who wrote these things, they rejected the church life. They can't be an overcomer. So this can't happen. Okay, if you isolate yourself from the church and neglect the church, there is no way for you to be an overcomer. Okay, I'll skip the next paragraph, but you read it when you can. And let's read the last paragraph together. The vital groups need overcoming. Even the vital groups need some vital groups within them to rescue them. After a little degradation, we are no longer vital. Without prayer, without being in the Holy Spirit, you can never be vital. Do not think that if you attend all the vital group meetings, you are vital. Being vital depends on whether you are vital in prayer, in the Holy Spirit, and in your human spirit. And this is from Fellowship Concerning the Urgent Need of the Vital Groups, which was the beginning of the fellowship on this matter of the vital groups. This is the little book that we got initially, my wife and I, the saints that had gone to Russia in 1992. We got this little book, but we didn't get a copy. We got a day with this little book, and we had to give it to somebody else. This was when this burden was being raised up by our brother. Okay, turn to the back page now. Okay, I'm going to take about another 5 or 6 minutes on a very practical fellowship, and I believe, based on what we've already been enjoying, that you will be convinced this works. And I'll be very, very practical. So I will begin with a very practical instruction. How to produce and establish a vital group in the church life. You've seen this before. If you haven't, if you go to the book we just referred to, Fellowship Concerning the Urgent Need of the Vital Groups, and you go to the very last page, there it is. This is there. Very last page. By one saint to be made vital, living, and active. That's what happened to our brother Lee in Chifu. He was following doctrines and doctrines and doctrines for years. Finally, he realized, I'm not vital. I'm not bringing anybody to the Lord. So month after month, he went to a hill outside of the town and poured his heart out to the Lord until he became vital. And then one day he came down from that hill and he found another person who wanted to be vital with him. And then in a short time they found some more brothers. And in just a very short time, the church life began there. Just by one person being made vital. So if you're in Pearland, or if you're in Katy, or if you're in Woodlands, or you're in Baytown, or wherever you are, if you're vital, you can vitalize the whole town. Amen. The whole area can become vital. How's this going to be happen? First, through the absolute, clear, and thorough fellowship with the Lord continuously. Do you doubt it? If you had this experience, do you doubt it? Okay, so please circle fellowship under letter A. Then letter B. Now you're in the fellowship. Through the thorough confession of sins, transgressions, failures, defects, mistakes, wrongdoings, and you may need to underline the etc. Hidden or manifested before God and before men. So circle confession. Confession. Letter C. Through the absolute and thorough consecration of oneself with everything to the Lord. So circle consecration. Through the unceasing and desperate prayer. Circle prayer. Through the soaking of the infilling and outpouring of the Spirit. So circle soaking. So fellowship, confession, consecration, prayer, soaking. We need these things. And we need to go to the Lord in this kind of a way. And we just go to the Lord. And just keep going to the Lord. Go back to the Lord. Go back to the Lord again. Lord, 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 what about this? Oh, Lord. What about my et cetera? Oh, Lord. Okay, then, by contacting another seeking saint. Do you know another seeking saint? Just look next door to you. Okay, to fellowship with him or her according to the above procedures. To make him or her vital and join with you as a group. All it takes is two to be a group. Both of you continuing to contact other seeking saints and making them vital to join with you and to increase your group until your group reaches about 10, dividing it into two groups and instructing each of the two groups to do the same thing as you have done with them. So I would encourage all of us to pray over these points until they're in us, till we can say them back to the Lord. Because I believe in us there's a witness that this is right. This is what the Lord needs. There's a witness that this is right. Okay, so I'm going to do two more things, and I would ask the brothers, if they would, to pass out the other sheet. And while they're doing this, I'll finish up. So you're going to get another sheet here. And what this is, it's yours to keep. We were going to do it just by household, but we figured that'd be too hard to work out, so we're giving everybody one. This is something prepared by Brother Witness Lee himself in 1972. And what it is, it's the prospective migration throughout the USA and immigration to Europe, Israel, and other countries. And he began with 1972 with the church in Los Angeles and 26 other churches in the United States at that time. So in 1972, there was a church in LA and 26 other churches. And in Texas, in 1972, there were two churches, two of these 26, Houston and Dallas, in 1972. And then he had a projection of what would happen, both for the church in Los Angeles itself and for the overall spread of migration throughout the USA and immigration to Europe, Israel, and other continents. And this projection was only for a 10-year period. 10-year period. So, what about Houston? Dare we think this way ourselves? Dare we think this way? Okay, so if you look at the bottom of the page, at the left-hand side, it says, based upon rate of annual increase of 35%. 35%. Okay, so I won't take much longer because we do need to pray. It's a prayer meeting. But for our vision, I hope we will consider this. What we saw and what you will see as you read, especially this fellowship from John chapter 15, is that the Lord has chosen us to bear fruit. And so this illustration of the vine tree is used. Well, we all know a normal fruit-bearing organism would have a yearly production. And that yearly production is kind of a reproduction of itself. It might just be another of itself. But there would be a yearly amount, whatever the normal would be. For human beings, it would be amazing if human beings could reproduce themselves one a year. That's quite a bit, right? That's not quite the norm. Susanna Wesley might have done that just about. She had 19 children. One of them was John Wesley, and another one was Charles Wesley. She had 19. And she had a mess of a husband. He was a mess. He was religious, but he was a mess. So she pretty much had to support the family and raise 19 children by herself. Anyway, she did it somehow. She enjoyed the Lord. When she needed her private time, I've told you before, you know, she would sit in the kitchen, she would put her apron over her head, and all the children got quiet. And then when she was done, she brought her apron down and they went back to their normal business. Okay, so I did a little investigation, saints, of what would be a normal, simple, easy, uncomplicated, and doable thing for each one of us. This will work. So here it is. I want to do this too. My wife knows I'm going to do this. We're just not here very long at a time. We're over there more. Okay. So these are the facts of Houston. Here's the facts in Houston. In 1 square mile of houses in Houston, 1 square mile, mile either direction, there are 1,500 houses. 1,500 houses. So you live in a typical neighborhood. Hopefully it's typical. Then average household has about 2.5 people. So that's 3,750 people within a mile of you, where you live, 1 mile. If you are an average walker, you would walk a mile in 20 minutes. If you're slower, you go a little slower. Some of you younger ones can do it in 10 minutes. But an average walker can walk a mile in 20 minutes. So that means you could reach the farthest person away from you by walking to their house in 20 minutes. Some of them only take 30 seconds to get to, like your next door neighbor. Or you can drive. Houstonians are more accustomed to driving than walking. So you can drive to that farthest away person in 3 minutes at 20 miles an hour. By the time you reach all 1,500 houses, you can start over. But you won't need to do that, because probably by the time you reach 15 houses, you've got your hands full. So what do? You go preach the gospel to them? No, you might. You might just need to stand in front of them and just say, I'm your neighbor and I'm sorry I haven't come to see you before. Some of you probably don't even know your next door neighbor. But if they're a block away, you sure enough don't know them, right? Well, how about this year we meet everybody that we can reach in a 20-minute walk? At least we go to see them and we say, I'm your neighbor. You can walk to my house or I can walk to your house. Could you come over for supper with us one night? Would you come have dinner with us after work? Would you do that? What do you think they'll say? Sure. Be glad to. Be glad to. They're your neighbor. They live the same way of life you live. They trust you. Probably seen you at the grocery store, mowing the grass, waved at you, lied to you, etc. If we would do that, saints, and if we would pray with our vital partners who are also reaching out to their neighbors, we're going to take the whole town. Because next year, each one of them will be doing the same thing. You only need to get one. Just one. Why? If that happens, where each one of us only gains one. Now, we want to be more ambitious. We like to gain more than that. But the normal fruit is you fruitful every year. So our household gains another household, one household. But according to this projection by Brother Lee, we will have significant growth, 35% growth each year. Why is it only 35 and not 100% then if we all are doing that? That is because normally not everybody is an overcomer. So some won't do it. Not yet. Some won't do it yet. But if we will, what's in here is more than 35%, I believe, of the church in Houston. But let's say it's 35%. We are 35% of the saints on the phone list. That's probably about right. I don't know how many are here, but I'd say 300 of us are here. Maybe 250 or maybe 3, I don't know. We're full anyway. But if each one of us would just do this, then that means a third of the church in Houston is bearing one fruit in a year with fruit that is falling off the branch in our neighborhood just to be plucked to come have dinner with us. Now, what I am telling you, I don't have time because we're out of time, but what I'm telling you, I can give you scores of quotes from the ministry and from the Word. And maybe I'll put it together and mail it to you. I might mail it to your very house so you can have to pray over that before the Lord. Because this is what our brother felt we should do. By the way, this is exactly what happened in Jerusalem in Acts. Exactly what happened. They got saved and they went to the next house and they went to the next house and they went to the next house and the church multiplied, multiplied, multiplied. That's exactly what they did. They stayed in the teaching and fellowship of the apostles. No doubt that's what the apostles were fellowshipping with them to do. Just tell your neighbors. Many of us, we also know we have relatives, we have colleagues, we have classmates. Some of those, the bridges have been kind of scorched already. But our neighbors, we haven't scorched any bridges because we don't know our neighbors. So we just go and say, I'm your neighbor. I live. Here's my address. Here's my phone number. Here's my family. Maybe you take them some homemade cookies or something and say, but we'd like you to come over and have dinner with us. Could you do it? Could you come tomorrow night to our house for dinner? And when they come, just be normal. Just be normal. Talk about normal things. And if you feel peaceful, give them something to read when they go home. Don't push. Don't preach. Maybe you don't say anything. Maybe just say, I'm just so happy to get to know you. Is there anything we could pray for related to your life and your situation? Anyway, saints, this is where we are. We are so blessed. We're so blessed. So bring this to the Lord. All these quotes, read over them. Please don't allow anybody to plant any death into you. If you see anything like this, erase it. Just erase it. I know it's hard to do. And some will say, the brothers will control you, tell you what to do or not to do. Well, you have to go to the Lord. But from the Word. The Lord told us Himself, and the ministry told us we have to avoid all these signs of death. Okay, so let's just take a few minutes, pray. I know I took longer than... Anyway, I just felt, though, we needed to let you get out of here by 8:30, because you got other things to do. It is the middle of the week. Please pray over all of this. What a blessing that we could have the corporate prayer of the church. Amen. What a blessing.